Let's go to the book of James this morning, chapter 2. James is just a small little book in the near the end of the Bible. If you go to Hebrews, keep on going a little bit to the right. James chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Okay. Verse 14 through 18. This is what God's word says. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, your word is active, and it's like a double-edged sword. Father, it's living. It penetrates to the soul, to the marrow. Father, we want your word to do that to us here today. We want it to penetrate us. We want it to revive us. We want your word to kindle a new fire in us here today, Lord. Father, most of all, we want your word to transform us. So, Father, may the words that I proclaim here this morning not be words of myself, not be words of Mike, but certainly be words of you, your Holy Spirit, guiding each and every one of us here this morning, Lord, into the truth, where the truth will set us free. You get the honor, you get the glory, you get the praise, because it's all about you, Lord. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're in this ongoing study of changes in our lives, of a transformed life. If we become a Christian, then what should we be doing? How should we be acting? How should we be talking? And I know that some of these things that we're discussing, it tramps on some toes. Last week's message tramped on mine, I could tell you that. It tramped on my toes so much that when I was preparing for this week's message, for today's message, I wanted to continue in the Epistle of Colossians with another word, because we've gone through compassion, we've gone through humility, that was last week's word, and I wanted to move on to like goodness or one of the other words. And as I was praying about it this week, the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not done with this humility thing yet. And I said, oh yes, I am. And he said, oh, no, you're not. Well, guess who won that argument? So we're going to kind of talk about humility, but we're going to kind of talk about another avenue of humility. Last week when we talked about humility, we gave a biblical definition, and we got that biblical definition from the book of Philippians, which said this, that we should consider others better than ourselves, and we should look after the interest of others as well as our own interest. Well, that was really something that really got me as I was reading that and as I was going through this week, and especially as I was reflecting on the story of Esther. We talked a little bit about Esther and Mordecai and Haman and those people from the book of Esther. And Esther, what a great example of humility that she had. She actually risked her life for the sake of her own people. And that was a good thing. And that was a good thing. Of course, she ended up not only saving herself, but all of the Jewish people. We read that story. And of course, Haman, we know that he was an example of someone who was about as, is there a word, as unhumble? You know, whatever the opposite of, what's the opposite of humble? Proud? Proud. He was about as proud as they could be, and he ended up getting killed at the end. But as I was thinking about this, the humility put, as we defined it last week, put the emphasis on the other person. It's all about the other person. It's all about the other person. And I think what God was speaking to me this week was, Mike, this week, not only take humility and put the emphasis on the other person, but put the emphasis on me. Put the emphasis on me, Mike. So that's what we're going to go with humility here today. And we have four fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletins here today, and we're going to go ahead and fill those in as we read different scriptures. And the first one we're going to go to is the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. And we're going to see how humility not only puts the emphasis on other people and takes it away from ourselves, but it puts the emphasis on God. And that's what we want to look at here today. And I think the message of last week and this week is going to be this. Regardless of where the emphasis goes, if it goes to God, if it goes to somebody else, I think what the Bible's trying to teach us is it's not about us, me, us. It's not about us. It's about other people. It's about God and what God does. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm just going to read verses 6 through 11, and then we're going to do our first fill in the blank of what our good works are going to do. And God's word says this, in starting at verse 6, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." There it is. There's that good work again. "As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." Key verse right here, number 11. "You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." So our first fill in the blank would be this. Our good works, and that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about that we have been created as Christians to do good works. So what's the results of these good works? Well, our first fill in the blank says this. Our good works will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, in this particular passage, Paul is talking about generosity, and we haven't used that word yet, got into generosity and giving as such. But what he's saying is this. When you're generous and when you give to other people, whatever that giving might look like to you, it's a good thing for the other person if they're the receiver of your generosity. But what does it do? It gives thanks to God. God ultimately gives the thanks for that. The things that we give, we have these offering plates. Thank you. We have these offering plates up here that have generosity in them, and that generosity is going to help somebody. But we do this because we want to give thanks to God for what He has given us. So when we are generous and when we give, that is a way of thanking God. Hey, thanks God for blessing me the way that you have. I want to give back to you. So and because we are thankful to God, somebody is going to benefit from our generosity. But our good works will result in this, in thanksgiving to God. So God will get the thanks for that. Let's move on to the second one. What's the second fill in the blank there? Well, we're going to go to the epistle of 1 Peter to find the answer for this one. First Peter is towards the back of your Bible. If you were at James, it's the next book right after that. And we're going to go to chapter 2 and read verses 11 and 12. And this is what God's Word says, again, about our good works. Dear friends, starting with verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Our second fill in the blank, why do we do good works? Because our good works will result in glory to God. Result in glory to God. Here's what Peter is saying. He's saying, when you're living among the pagans, God wants you to do good works in front of them so the pagans and other people will see your good deeds. And because they see the good deeds that you're doing, they will glorify God. It reminds me of a story. I remember this fellow that I used to work with back at Genicom. His name was Jack. And Jack and his wife and son had some out-of-state company one weekend. They had some friends come in from Ohio, I believe, and stayed all weekend. And they went back, I believe, early Monday morning. And it was like the next week, Jack is telling me the story. He said, you know, when our friends, our friends weren't even believers. We invited them into our house for the weekend, and we just did what we normally do. And he said, when they got back to Ohio, they called. They gave us a call and said this: we don't know what you have, but whatever you have, we would like to have too. And Jack said, well, what do you mean? They said, you are two of the nicest people, just the way you talked, the way you acted, just the things that you did. There was just something about you. What is it? Because we'd like to have it. Of course, Jack, being the mature Christian that he is, had an opportunity over the phone to say, it's what the Lord has done in me. We just sang about that this morning, didn't we? It's what the Lord has done in me. He got to give the glory to God. See, it wasn't anything that Jack did. It was just the transformation that God had done inside Jack and his wife and his son. And this was a reflection of what of Christ working inside them. But these other people saw it. And they saw something. They said, we want to have a part of it. And they said, well, you can. It's a matter of Jesus Christ. And he got to witness to them. So the good works that Jack did resulted in glory to God, because Jack never took any of the credit. He said, it's what God has done in me. So that's the second thing that our good works will result in. And let's look at the next one. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. And we're going to read just a couple very familiar verses, starting at verse 13. And let's see what else good works do in us or for us. Starting at verse 13, chapter 5, 13. Jesus is talking. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. He says this: you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. And that's just as if he's talking to us, folks. We are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Key verse number 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Next one. Next fill in the blank. Our good works will result in praise to God. If God has given us treasure and talent and time. We need to be using those things for His thanksgiving, for His glory, and for His praise. If we have this light that's inside us, if God is truly residing inside us, we need to let that shine. We can't go hide in a cave somewhere and not let it shine anywhere. You know, where I grew up in Pittsburgh, I'll never forget this. I used to have to walk to school 2 miles uphill both ways in the snow, in the rain. You believe that, don't you? Okay, well, most of that was true. It was 2 miles, and I did have to walk, but it was uphill one way and downhill the other. Okay, but I used to pass this large, enormously large stone building that was on the corner of two streets. And inside this building were nuns that stayed inside that building day and night, and day and night, and day and night, and day and night. They never came out. You might wonder, how did they get food? Well, they'd call in grocery orders, and person would have the grocery order, and they had this round turntable thing, and if you went in there and you put the groceries down on it, and they would turn it around, which came over to their side. They would take the groceries and they would turn it back again, and then it would be empty because they had taken the groceries. But these ladies would be inside this place all the time. Now tell me, are they letting their light shine before men? I mean, I understand going into your closet being a prayer warrior, but at some time you do have to let your Christianity shine before men. And but why? So that they see, that people will see our good deeds and be able to praise our Father in heaven. Now I'm gonna go back to something I said last week, and once again I'm gonna put somebody on the spot, which I kind of do at will. But what was said was so key that it's really the purpose for this whole message. And I'm going to go back to Glenn Fields again. When we talked about, I still remember, shortly after I started pastoring here, I went up to Glenn because I knew that this young man right here was Glenn's grandson. And I said how wonderful a piano player Phil was. And Glenn could have done one of three things. He could have said, and I know I said this last week, he could have said, well, he got all that talent from me, which he didn't do, which would have been wrong anyways. Number two, he could have said, yes, Phil is a great piano player, which he didn't do that either. He didn't give the glory to himself. He didn't even give the glory to Phil. He said it was a gift God has given him. That stuck with me so much, even after I preached it last Sunday, that God said, Mike, you need to elaborate on that, and you need to make sure that the glory goes to where the glory needs to go. And the glory needs to go to God. God has gifted this young man to play the piano. He has gifted these people to sing. He has gifted you to do something. You have good deeds, folks. And the question is, are you letting your light shine before men, before people? Or are you like those nuns in Pittsburgh who are in this building that never come out and don't do anything? But the glory ultimately goes to God. So we know this. Why do we do these good works? Because they'll result in thanksgiving to God. Number two, our good works will result in glory to God. And number three, our good works will result in praise to God. Now, we have one more fill in the blank, and for that one, let's go to the, stay in the Gospel of Matthew, go to chapter 25, and we're just going to read just a little bit of scripture here, and I'm going to read verses 31 through 40 to be able to fill in our last blank that we need to fill in. Starting with Matthew 25, verse 31, God's Word says this, And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples right before he died at the Olivet Discourse. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, and the goats will be on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, the sheep, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "But Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Our fourth fill in the blank says this: our good works may benefit others, but we ultimately do them for the king. We do them for the king. In this little parable that Jesus is telling here about the sheep and the goats, he's referring to a king, and we do know that the king refers to God himself. Refers to God. What we are doing not only to benefit others, our good works will benefit others. This money here is going to benefit others. Your good deeds, whatever they may be, are going to benefit others. But we ultimately do them for the king. Now I ask this question. If we knew, and if we always kept that in mind, that this is why we do the things that we do, would we do them more? Would we do them less? Would we do them differently? Hypothetical situation. If Jesus himself was walking the face of the earth today, and we knew who he was, and we recognized him as the Messiah, and we knew that he was the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the God of all gods, and we knew that he was thirsty, would we give him a drink of water? Absolutely. If he was hungry and we said, "Jesus, you want a sandwich? Come on, let me take you to Burger King." We would take Jesus to Burger King. We might even take him to Cracker Barrel. Would warn him before we took him to Walmart, though. If Jesus was on the side of the road, naked, torn clothes, or whatever, wouldn't we put on good clothes on the Savior of the world? Isn't that the way that we would want to dress him? If he was in prison, wouldn't we be in line to go see him? If he was sick, wouldn't we be the first one to the pharmacist to get him the medication or drugs or do whatever it took to make Jesus better again? And I'm sure in all those situations, if it was Jesus, if it was that one person that was going through all this, we would say, undoubtedly, yes, we would make sure that his needs were taken care of. So we'd be willing to do them for Jesus. But here's what Jesus says. If you're willing to do them for me, you need to do them for them. If you're going to do it for me, you need to do it for them. if you're willing to do good deeds for me, you're willing to do good deeds for them. Because humility says this, it's not about me. It's about that other person. So when we do that deed for that other person, we are ultimately thanking God, we are glorifying God, we are praising God, and we are doing it all for the King. So the question is, if we are willing to do it for the King, are we willing to do it for them? Let's go to God in prayer.